Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight Studios on the hill, corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Come over, check them out. Follow them online at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Book yourself a tour today at GaslightSTL.com. And just check out the beautiful facilities they have. They're a great recording studio attached to a bar-type setting where you can hang out and watch your favorite bands play, or you can, if you have a band or a solo artist or whatever the case might be, there's a lot of great opportunity to get in there and record. So get involved, check them out online, and then come out Sunday, October 9th, over to the Gaslight and see Cavo. They're recording. It's the 300th episode of Rock Paper Podcast. We're going to throw a big party over there. We got great vendors like Four Hands Brewery, Urban Chestnut Brewing, Smoking Hot Cigars, Jameson Irish Whiskey, Cha Cha Chow. It's just going to be a good time, good hangout. Of course, Cavo will be live in studio. They will be doing a podcast interview for the show, then we'll also gonna do a live acoustic jam and record it by Loft Sessions. So you can come out, be a part of all that, and that's gonna be a lot of fun. So that's Sunday, October 9th at Gaslight. Check it out, GaslightSTL.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi.
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 We're Marie and the Americans, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Marie and the Americans. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm excited because like I've been seeing the name a lot, like at least over the last year, and I've been we run in a lot of the same circles, but we haven't actually officially met. So except for I know Simon, we've been our, but this is the first time meeting the rest of you. So I'm like I said, it's always cool for me to discover new music and new people in town, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of why I do this show is so I can keep discovering more great talent in our city. So appreciate you taking some time out to do the show today. This is fun. So I'm looking forward to this. But I guess we should go around the room. Everybody say hey and introduce yourselves. And for those listening at home or wherever, they're listening.
Wherever they may be.
Yeah.
Around the world.
Somewhere other than my living room.
I like to pretend that they're just at home, though. That's just
home
like,
is wherever you are.
Can they get this podcast in submarines?
I think so.
They're non-blown deployments?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Right.
If you're in a submarine, you'll understand the echo in here.
Well, I guess I start. I'm Marie. I'm from Germany. And this is how
whereabouts in Germany?
Hamburg, in the very north.
So you're a hamburger?
I'm not a hamburger. I want to stress out that the best joke is usually that I don't like beer. And that usually ends up in, you don't like beer, you're from Germany. But that's also how the name comes together with Marie and the Americans.
Yeah.
And only two of us like beer.
That's true. But we like it a lot. Right?
I mean, Simon doesn't drink, so...
Conceptually, I'm okay with beer. Like, beer is a cool thing. I like it. I like its existence.
It stands for something.
It's just not for me.
It stands for freedom.
Simon doesn't want to hurt beer's feelings.
Nah, beer's cool, man.
Born for beer, yeah. Well, it knows what... But
all right, wait your turns, you guys.
I'm done. The Americans.
Yeah, I'm an American. My name's Joe Sparks, and I am the newest member. I'm the newest American.
He's the new guy.
Yeah, I'm the new guy since, what was that? Like January? February?
Sometime this winter.
You'll always be the new guy, unless we get another new guy.
But we're glad to have you. We're really glad.
Yeah.
Unless we're even
too.
Sex change.
There's a lot of knowledge.
Right. My name is Simon Shervitz. I play bass with many people. Marie Bundi Americana is one.
And who else?
Who else? Illphonics is my main group.
Yeah.
Played with Defeated County for a long time. Been playing with Cara Louise lately. I did Kevin's thing.
Is that everybody?
You did Kevin Kaler's
Spatula. My, most fun jammy project.
That's right. Woo. And don't you forget it.
That's right. And, I think that's it.
Yeah. Second appearance.
Yeah.
On Rock Paper Podcast.
Got a celebrity on our hands.
I'm a sophomore. I'm just a freshman.
Moving up.
Yeah. Did him, Russell.
I'm Russell McCandless. I play drums for Cree Rider Family Band. And Defeated County now. That's my latest thing. I've been with Marie for quite a while now, since its inception. I think after I met her, she was hanging out at the house, and I think I had a guitar laying around. You said something about, I can see him play some stuff, and she played the guitar and it freaking blew me away. I was like, all right, I'm your drummer now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of decided it for her, you know. We jammed out a little bit. I was like, yeah, this could definitely and easily be put together. Songs are constantly evolving. The more we play it, the more we tweak things. But overall, it's pretty badass.
Sure.
I mean, everybody that I know that is a musician, they like us.
Musicians. Or they're just really friendly.
Well, even if they don't like me, they like Marie for sure.
At least they say so.
Especially my dad and my uncles. They're all like, they clamor over you.
I blame it on being a German.
It might help.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
So it's exotic to them.
So when's all this this group come together?
Oh God!
It's been a couple years.
I mean, Russ and I, we started in. I moved over here in 2014, and then we pretty much started right away because we already knew each other. Mm-hmm. And then I think we were looking for some people, and then Russ started talking with Simon, and then Simon joined us.
How are you guys?
So I think officially
through Tony Compton from The Last Nine, Let's Go from the Billy Goat, he asked us separately to do a little demo thing for him at Ben Sturdivant's house, and we just played several shows together. And I was like, "Hey, you want to go play with this girl here?" He's like, "Yeah."
It was kind of funny because Russ and I were already friends, so I understood that he would be in the band.
He's a great dude.
But then I didn't know Simon, so I was like, he's like super ass good, and we don't know each other. Why would he even want to play with us? But he actually showed up to the practice, and since then he's a member of the band.
Yeah.
Sure.
Keep showing up.
Who knows why?
Yeah. And then
pretty warm chair. I'm not into it.
Right.
Sorry.
I run hot.
Yeah. And then Joe joined you guys, you said, like, January or something?
This past winter some point.
So there was a Shel Silverstein tribute show at Off-Broadway that I played with my other group, Frontal Lobe. And
I was there.
Russ
Creed was playing. Actually,
Russ was there. Yeah, it was like
we played too.
Yeah. So you guys played too.
We did a couple of Shel Silverstein tributes.
Yeah.
Always weird.
And then that was weird. Those are some weird songs, but a lot of it's good. And then we were both at Off Broadway the very next night for the Les Gruff CD release party. Mm-hmm. And Russ approached me there, and Marie was there as well. And
yeah, Russ was like, "We should hire this guy. He's really, really good."
He said that you guys were looking for a new guitar player or something, and you guys also had a show coming up the following week at
the demo.
Yeah, and so I went and checked them out there to make sure they didn't suck before I agreed to anything, and they were awesome. So.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Rest in peace, Demo.
Where do I sign?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
There's a really good touring band there that night, too. You guys remember them?
From California.
Mm-hmm. From Oakland, the Tony Wanderers.
Yeah,
those guys are great. Very shout cool. out.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we started rehearsing over at Russ's house, and Marie's been getting gigs like crazy ever since, really.
Yeah. On the recording was Matt Shore and my cousin Wally McCandless on the guitars. They, you know, they're good friends of mine. Well, Matt was a good friend of mine, but he went to school with Wally up in Chicago, Concordia, and he's from like Belleville or something like that. So they were in the band for a minute, did the recording.
Yeah.
They basically helped us really out to get the EP finished because that was like a long project. It took like a year to finish it, and then we already wanted to start way before that, and then our first guitar player decided to leave us.
He moved to California.
Yeah, and he wanted to do his own project, so we kind of were always stopped with finishing the EP, so Wally and Matt really helped out to get the EP finished, but
you finished the recording.
I would love to have recorded it, the drum track, somewhere else. We recorded it in a big South County mega church. Like on the pulpit.
Yeah.
I really like
which
it.
In theory, you think, oh, this would be pretty cool, but I just, you know, everything sounded really weird to me. I couldn't get a good mix in my headphones, you know. We did it in like 4 hours, you know, like set up, record, and we were gone, you know.
Yeah.
So, it would have been nice to spend a little more time with it.
Sure.
Tweak some things, some sounds here and there, some tones.
Before we start practicing, usually Russ is the first downstairs because he needs a long time to set everything up.
It's very particular.
Well, you know, you're going to be on your throne doing doing business, you got to make sure you're comfortable. I had a stage monitor fall on me at a show.
Uh-oh.
So it messed with my head.
You were just in the
things,
wrong place.
Little things like that. You know, I'm trying to. I can't talk to the sound guy while I'm playing because I'm four limbs are going on at the same time. I'm trying to count, and that's why I don't sing and play. It's distracting.
Right.
So you're talking about these recordings. We have the new EP, Princess in Hell, is now out and available. Five tracks. And then I guess Marie wrote the songs. And
yes.
And then did you guys the music-wise, collaborative effort? Or?
I mean, she came with chord changes and, like, established rhythmic patterns and then kind of put what we could where we could when we felt like it would work. Like,
yeah.
They sound definitely different than if I only played with a guitar. I always feel like it sounds so much better when the whole band is playing, because like all the, it might be like I'm writing the chord changes, but it's still everything that the guys are putting into it, it makes it sound unique. And a lot of times, like also like with rock, you often have like just the four chord progression, so I feel like a lot of times it's really necessary to have some extra brains who are making it a little bit more special than the song sound when I'm only playing.
You gotta give yourself credit where credit is due, because without us, they stand alone as great songs.
Yeah,
and that's what originally attracted me to play with her. Because like, if you can do this with just yourself and an acoustic guitar, and it still sounds good, they can only get better from that. Unless you know, a terrible musician.
Just about everything's better with a bass player.
Absolutely. Especially one of the plays like this guy here.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who. Just anyone. You want waffles? Take a bass player.
Yeah, I mean,
but some of the more recent songs that we've been writing, though, we've all been kind
of collaborating,
chord
changes and stuff
together.
Yeah,
there've always been little
multiple
tweaks
time
and stuff
signatures
that I've suggested through the time, and other people playing have suggested through the time to slightly change a chord. Slightly different.
It's like we can work more together, because it feels like, I mean, Russ and Simon have been in the band from the beginning, but it's always, every time you have a new member coming in, it kind of takes the time to work together.
Sure.
So I feel like right now,
and
I really hope you stay.
It's extremely difficult to work with.
That it's like,
it takes like more time.
You really can see how over time it gets easier to work together. Like, when I'm writing songs, I don't even care so much anymore about the chord progressions, because I know as soon as I'm introducing the songs, they will figure something out and they make it sound great and they have like ridiculous good ideas. So
it's because I can't do words. I don't do words. I don't computer. I'm just a caveman drummer.
I'm just a caveman.
I beat on things.
I don't computer.
And sequences.
Often it's great. I show a new song and they just start without even hearing the whole song. They're already in it and play it, and it already sounds great. And from there on, it can only get better.
It's called having an ear for music, I think.
Yeah.
We all have it, you know?
Yeah, we've never done anything wrong or bad. pretty much infallible as musicians.
St. Peter's going to let me in when I die, I promise you that.
Above reproach.
I was listening on the way down, actually, getting to preview the EP, and I like Princess in Hell, which is the title track, like I said. That one I thought was probably my favorite on the record. I didn't really know what the sound was like, but just like associating you with some of the other groups that you played with, I kind of, you know, had an idea. But like, there's a lot more rock influence into this than I had originally thought. But I was like listening to Princess in Hell, and like that sounds like a, you know, Stevie Nicks or a Cyndi Lauper or some kind of like a. That kind of almost classic rock kind of thing going on through some of that stuff. And
The EP really sounds like how I pictured it from the beginning. Like when I was writing the songs, I was definitely thinking of rock, a little bit pop music, and then depending also on what guitar player we had during the time, I think we changed a little bit the genre. So in the beginning, we might have sounded a little bit more Americana. People are still sometimes referring to us as Americana, which is okay, but I really think the sound on the EP with the rock, a little bit of pop, is definitely what we're heading to. Yeah.
They might think we're Americana because America's in the name of
our band. Yeah. It might be also my acoustic guitar on stage.
I think that, like, genre-wise, this is the most straightforward rock group that any of us.
Yeah, for sure. That was
our country to come into it. You know, so like this is me cutting loose.
Yeah.
You know,
let's play rock songs.
We play with Defeated County. It's kind of country esque, you know, but great. It's straight up honky tonk.
Yeah.
And this is where you know, animal comes out. You know. It's fun. It's therapeutic.
Sure. But yeah, I was, like I said, Princess in Hell, I liked a lot, and In Holding On. Those were a couple that really
the real rock sounds.
Yeah, those ones that really got my attention. But yeah, the whole record sounds really great. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Are these available online now, or are we still just currently at shows?
Not yet. Right now, only at shows. I haven't had the time. I was trying to set everything up, but there's always something with taxes. Like, you have to think about a lot of stuff. And since I'm not from here, I don't want to run into problems with certain things.
Sure.
So right now, blame it on me, guys. But it's not online available yet. Yeah. But you can catch us on a show, or write us a message on Facebook. Marie and the Americans, and we'll answer and we'll get in touch with you, and I'll bring a CD personally if you're living in St. Louis and not too far away.
Yeah, right now they're only hand delivered.
Yeah.
Local deliveries only.
If I feel like
Well, they can come pick up one October 7th.
Yes.
There you go.
At the Way Out Club.
Yeah.
Where you'll be playing with
Whiskey Autumn.
Whiskey Autumn. Yeah, so
two words that go together quite well. At least I would think.
Yeah.
Seems like of the liquors, would you say whiskey is the most autumnal?
Yeah.
I think
slash winter time
is good any time of year or day.
Yeah, but I mean like I don't know.
Yeah, no. 7 o'clock on a Wednesday morning.
Like, you know,
a nice clear liquor in the summertime and.
Sure.
A dirty, dirty brown one.
Yeah. There will be more
in the
gigs coming up. It's just right now with we just had the EP release party.
Yeah.
So I was kind of focusing mainly on that. And after, right now with studying, it's taking a little bit too much of my time right now. But we're going to hit it soon again and have quite more gigs around town. And I hope you catch us.
Yeah. And then, of course, you said Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, we have right now a friend of mine, friend of us, Matt Close, is doing our Instagram and Facebook page, and he's doing a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I wasn't even thinking, I know how social media works, but it's, for me, it's a little bit of a pain, posting everyday things, and Matt is really good and passionate about every day posting something.
Yeah, she's on it.
And it's helping.
I really appreciate
it's helping
it.
Us so much. So I want to give out a shout out for Matt, who's doing all social media right now.
Thank you, Matt. So, close.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
You're the man, dude.
But we're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We are on Reverb Nation. I think we're even on SoundCloud, but I would rather go on Reverb Nation. There's more information about us.
Yeah.
And the main page is definitely Facebook, and this is how you can best reach us.
Yeah. So you said studying, so you're going to school here?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that why you came here?
So I came here in 2013, and I was here for 3 months because my aunt and my uncle live here, so they were inviting me over to come for a little bit. And then over the 4th of July, thing when the Counting Crows were playing. I met Russ. So that I was able to move over here and like doing music with the guys was that I like you have to get a visa. So in that case, it was hard to get a working visa. So going to school is a good solution for me. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to the St. Louis Community College and doing a mass communication major there. And yeah, I'll enjoy that. But the main reason I'm here is definitely to do music.
Yeah.
Marie, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Did your perception of the United States change? I mean, obviously it must have once you got here, but I mean, like, is that true? Like,
I was always a fan of America. If my parents would have let me, I would have already moved over in the seventh grade because I hated my class. So, but my parents wouldn't let me.
Seventh grade was a bitch for everybody, I think.
Well, it was really a bitch for me, but yeah, I was always always drawn into with American stuff, also because my uncle is American. So there was when my aunt, my uncle visited us, it was always kind of like it was great talking in English and stuff.
Sure. And you still feel that way now?
If I can, I would rather stay here than being in Germany, because like this, how people are here, I feel like they're so nice and welcoming. Every time, like, people don't know me. Like, when I met Ross, it's like, people don't know me, but they're welcoming you right away. And sometimes you don't even have to say that you're from somewhere else. They are just like that. I feel like a lot of times they're just super nice and they don't care if they don't know each other. They're just like, hey, yeah, come with us. We show you some places.
Yeah.
Don't jump into a van with just anybody, though.
I've been seeing so many, like, there's so many entertainment web pages and stuff where they post the memes and everything, and then, like, all these comments, maybe just lately because of the political bullshit that's going on right now, like, just seems like Europeans in general are voicing a lot of, like, prejudice against the stereotypical, you know, lazy Walmart, welfare, or whatever.
Well,
you know?
What I learned over the years is like there's certain things are coming over to Germany. Like it's like international news. So if it's like there's not everything that happens in Germany, not all the news will come over here. And I feel like it's the same the other way around. But
yeah,
something that I really realize is like people shouldn't judge if they don't live here. They shouldn't judge from this example,
right,
like from Germany,
this
is bullshit what people are doing here.
I think a lot of people that are spitting out that kind of stuff are probably kids that have not ever been here, because really, when I was in college, I met a lot of international students too, like all over the world, and it's like everybody enjoyed it here, you know.
I think
mm-hmm.
the people who are doing the step to come over here,
they already wanted to.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the same. I noticed when I lived in South Korea when I was in the army. Their media is pretty isolated, I guess. You know, like if you're over there, I had no idea the Cardinals even won the World Series when I was over there, because I was just there in South Korea. They're a bunch of Asians, but they talk about their own local stuff, obviously.
Sure.
You know?
They got baseball over there.
But the ones that have been to America, you know, they're like, oh man, you know, America's great. And it's encouraged to learn English there. Because every male has to serve 2 years in the military. If they're able bodied. And if you learn English, you can take a test and can work with the Americans, which is a much easier job. Basically translating and stuff, you know. So it's definitely, I would just say it's like being in Germany, I guess, you know. There's a lot of stuff in the media that doesn't make it over here.
Right.
Same place.
You know, like when I was over there, I didn't hear everything that came from America. Like I said, my beloved Cardinals had won the World Series, and I think I was in the middle of the woods somewhere on a training exercise.
Didn't know
the World Series was going on.
See a shooting star go past or some shit like that? And just
no, there was no missiles. They were firing.
No, I'm not talking about like you didn't see a celestial body move through the sky and just know in your heart that the Cardinals...
Hey, it was daytime.
Huh?
It was daytime.
I don't know.
You know, the opposite side of the world thing.
You should have just felt it in your heart, man.
I knew something was going on, but I thought that was the anxiety. You know, being in the military.
It's that intuition, man. Just got to tune into it.
But I rehashed my love of playing music while I was in Korea. So, you know, I started off in marching band, and parents split up. My mom forbid me from playing music because my dad was a musician, still is. So when I got over there, got together with some metalheads and started playing.
While you were in the military?
I managed to go to the camp commander, and they gave us some space to do all this. They had a great place in Seoul. It's like a 2 or 3 city block, 3-story music store. It's a candy land for a musician.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I spent so much money in that place. I mean, probably $15,000 worth of music equipment that I don't have anymore.
Yeah. Sounds like money well spent.
Oh, it was great. It was a great time. And then I got to, you know, as soon as I got back to America, got with my cousin Wally, and we started a bar band. Because we had been playing together before I ran off to the Army. And we started playing Lynyrd Skynyrd and Eric Clapton and all that good stuff. And then that got to a point where, like, I was like, I'm burnt out. I've been doing this for a couple years now. I want to do some original stuff. When I moved to the city, I think I was at Palace Blue Moon. I ran into Edgefield C. Johnston and Cree Rider at the same time. Started playing music at Edgefield and told Cree, I was like, if you need a fill-in drummer, let me know. And then he called me up and said, hey, man, my drummer's having a baby. He's got to quit. So
that's the original stuff,
playing with Edgefield and him, was like, immediately, that's the only thing we'll do now.
Right.
Occasionally do a cover, you know, but original tunes.
Sure.
That was around the time when I met him, and that was also intimidating when he was saying, hey, I'll be your drummer. And I was like, you're really, really good.
Oh, that was really shitty back then.
You weren't.
You know, I had a somewhat similar experience, though I didn't go to the Army, but, you know, like how you were saying, that really, like, you know, embolden your passion to play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I graduated from college, I took a job that was required me to be pretty isolated from the outside world for a long time, and so I didn't have anybody to play with for a long time. And then when I moved back to St. Louis, it was like, that's what I have to do. You know what I mean? And just like kind of underline that, like, you know, that's really what I want to be doing. And then just started getting out there and just, you know, meeting people, and everything started popping off, you know. And now it's like I'm probably doing something in my waking hours involved with music more than I'm not.
Yeah. If it's not a gig, it's a rehearsal.
But, like, sometimes you need to get away from it for a minute to realize how important it is to you. Mm-hmm. You know,
sure.
I think.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks since Cree Rider had our CD release thing. No, it's Cree Fest, and when we played last night, I was like, wow, I'm glad to be back in the saddle. It's so good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, at some point, if you're not playing regularly, you kind of forget this feeling, how it feels being on stage, and as soon as we're playing out again, it's like, this is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, who needs heroin when you have that?
Yeah.
Heroin addicts.
So is Princess in Hell, is that come from being in the 7th grade in Germany? Is that the hell, or is it
were you a princess in hell?
Oh, that had to do with Super Mario.
Yeah.
To be honest.
In my mind, it does anyway.
Yeah.
That's good, too.
Yeah, man.
I think it's all mental, because, you know.
Hanging out with Bowser.
I don't know the words of these songs, to be honest with you. I know some of them. I'm the drummer. But, you know, Princess in Hell to me, that just says, hey, you know, this is a situation.
Let Marie answer this one.
That's it. Honestly, usually my songs are about relationships, not necessarily like love, romantic relationships, but like some kind of relationship, what's like in my head. But for Princess and Hell, you really caught me with one that is not really related with anything in my life. I think it was something like a project where I was like, well, there's so much going on series and stuff, so I just wanted to do something fairy tale like. And then it just. I think the beat was in there first, and then I was just like, okay, I need lyrics, so you just come up with something.
Right.
And this is how the song.
Peach.
Originated.
Bowser. Yoshi. Bowser Jr.
I think I wrote that in the like 11th or 12th grade.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So what influences over in Germany as a kid? Where like do you get to listen to a lot of these American music over there? Or?
Well, I have to hear really educated musicians with me, so I'd say if I know 5% of what they are talking about, then I'm good.
Right.
But I think my very first influences are always, I feel like, the parents when you're doing a road trip and your father is, because he's driving, is like deciding what we're listening to.
Sure.
So it's like older stuff like Tom Petty, or also like there's a German rock band called Die Ärzte, The Doctors, which I really like, but my father's also a fan of most songs from them. But
I've never heard
of
them before. When you turn on radio in Germany, what percentage is
how it started out?
When you turn on the radio in Germany, what percentage of that is American and what or German versus German?
To be fair, since I haven't been really there much in the last 2 years, and there's like a lot of changes. So before I went over, I'd say
when you were growing up, though.
I'd say still like 70% maybe from
really?
America, like from series wise and movies, what they're doing. But Germany still has a lot of, like, it's still producing stuff too.
Yeah.
So
and they have a pretty big electronic music scene in Germany too, right?
Yeah, not
is that
too much
present
that.
In the. No, not
they really,
so
they really want to get me now to figure out how that.
I'm just curious because I've never been to Europe and I really would love to go.
I think I for sure
know Germany has like some rules where on radio stations they cannot just play foreign music, but they have to, and that's I don't know that exactly, but I think like 40% or something they have to play German music. So there's a good chunk of German artists, and we have good artists. But
yeah,
like that's why I don't know like every popular song here, like.
Sure.
Some of the songs I've never heard, and they're just like, you don't know this song. I was like, yeah, I never heard it.
I take that for granted too. Like,
but then other
yeah.
songs like the Madonna song where she's doing the American Pie, like that song is like really. I'd say I grew up with this song sung by Madonna, and then the guys are like, we don't know this song. It's only sung by, and I don't even know this song.
I think she's European now, though. I think she made the switch.
She made the switch.
She transitioned nicely European. Yeah.
She started talking with an English accent. So.
I imagine Spice Girls and fucking
I know
Williams
Spice
and
Girls.
Shit.
I hear like a lot of
Spice Up Your Life.
I hear a lot of like maybe some Gwen Stefani influence.
Yeah.
Like No Doubt.
Yeah. I'm really bad at like picking out influences. I was thinking before we started doing the podcast,
no,
I was a little bit thinking about. I for sure know like one
Persona
really important moment was like when Avril Lavigne had her CD coming out, Complicated, and I've been listening to her music.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure if that's like the super influence. It's like a lot of mainstream music that's on the radio in Germany. In that case. But
is that what they're sending over to you guys? Is that what they see us as? Avril Lavigne?
She's
no.
They send it
but
over
I'm
here too.
Also, I'm a huge fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and
yeah,
I heard people say, like, sometimes it's going in the direction of glam rock, the way some of the songs are arranged.
I used to wear pajamas at school every day.
I'd like to think that we're making a really unique sound, also based on what talents we have here.
Sure.
Yeah, just wait till we get some more recordings out there.
Yeah. Is that, Joe said earlier about some of the newer stuff you guys are working on. So is that, I know this just came out, but is that something you guys are gearing up for another recording.
We got enough to do a record and an EP.
Yeah.
Musicians are always broke. Right now, I think we have to wait for a little bit. We have more songs coming, and this is just a tiny part of what we have, and that's also come to our shows, and you'll hear much more material.
Sure.
Yeah. Diverse. You know, we're working on diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Marie is bringing in new songs all the time, like either brand new or at least new to me because I haven't played them before, and they're really good. And then
we're always trying to make something unique.
Like make them complicated to play, and then it takes us a long time to learn how to play it, right? I'm really excited about all our new songs that we're working on.
Yeah, there's one about Tower Grove Park.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Talk about that one. It's a place. Wasn't that like a thing? There's like
a story to it.
Yeah, there's just a little story about it. Jazzy Katnacker did our designs, and she's one of my best friends here in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And she's working for a company, the Arbor Group, and they were saying that they're right now doing a project for the Tower Grove, South Grand kind of area. There's more areas to it, but like basically this area.
Right over there.
So she was, right over there here. Everything is local. she was asking if I would like to write something. So I introduced it to the guys and they were up to it. So I wrote some lyrics and I thought I kept it pretty simple, but I think we kept the song pretty simple. And sometimes that's also mind-blowing how if you have like super good musicians, how simple can still sound like, oh my
awesome.
God, this sounds so good. Like, I love playing this new song. But it's pretty much, it's really simple.
Right. Yeah, well, some of that, like, you know, some of that's good. I mean, you think of, like, some of these, like, simplest, catchiest little things, and then all of a sudden, like, it becomes, like, a huge hit. Like, you hear some of these, like, people, they write some of these songs, and you're like, oh, yeah, we wrote that in, like, 5 minutes or whatever. It was just, like, you know, but then other songs you're, like, working on forever, and then it's, like, it's just funny how you never know what, you know, people attach themselves to and what connects and stuff. But sometimes that little catchy, little simple song is the one that becomes the big success or whatever. But
yeah,
it is. Speaking of writing about Tower Grove, it is cool. I think right now there's just like so much going on in St. Louis music, and it's so cool to see like people that are like writing about St. Louis. And I think that's one of my favorite parts as a fan. Like all these, there's a lot of like. Seems to be a lot of St. Louis songs coming out recently, and it's just like, it's fun for me. I don't know how well they go over, you know, outside of St. Louis, but like I love hearing all these songs about South City and everything, you know, just like all the different things that are going on here in St. Louis, and so.
Yeah, we've got some with Cree, where he talks about the house that they live in is owned by a lady named Miss Cooper, which were barrel makers for like the breweries and stuff, and she lived there until, I think, the day she died or something like that. And they were, like, the next people to move into it. And talks about South City.
I think there's a lot of pride about being in St. Louis as a musician because that is, like, one of the...
There's a reason why I came here and not anywhere else.
Yeah,
it was really, as you said,
you
like,
know,
the music scene.
There's a lot of things wrong with this city like any major city, but the music scene is really... a supportive one,
yes.
More so than in other music cities that I've been in where it's very competitive, you know, and nobody's really trying to help each other out. Everybody's just trying to make it on their own. And in St. Louis, it's very different. It's very much a community, and, like, that's how I know all you guys, you know? Like, we're all in a few bands, and all those bands are friends, and those are friends with other bands, and it just like grows exponentially like that.
It also helps knowing that when you're playing a show and you're supplying a drum kit for the whole night, they're all your buddies and they're not going to tear it up.
Well, you did break that drum head the other day.
I did, but I did replace it.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
It was the first one I've ever broken, actually.
Nice.
I agree. I think that even me doing this show, like, it's been cool to, like, you know, I'll share something I like on Facebook or whatever. I'll share a video from somebody, and then I have many mutual friends that are St. Louis musicians, and I'm like, and they take a listen, and they're like, man, I had no idea this was coming out of St. Louis, and I really like this and stuff, and it may not be something that's in their circle, that they're a bands they play with, but it's something different, and they're like, they take notice, and it's like, I love being that kind of guy that can kind of bring things together, bring this community even more so. And that's a big part of me doing the show is
just doing God's work.
I don't know about that.
He's doing his late work.
But I love, like I said, bringing, kind of making it more of a community and stuff. And that's a big part of it for me. So,
awesome.
But yeah. So hopefully, obviously. Probably be a minute, but you hoping maybe something spring or anything for another release, or see how it goes? Or
I guess it depends on how soon we can get into some studio time.
And we're getting faster with, as I said earlier, with the EP. It took us about a year.
Well,
but I think if we hook up with Gaslight, we might be able to get something done relatively quickly.
It depends on
how
we have mixing it, because we finished it by September last year.
Right now it's mainly because of the money that we cannot really start. I think everybody else will be up for going right now into recording, and I think we could start pretty soon from the material, what we have, and how well we worked on it.
But see, right Kickstarter.
GoFundMe.
But
right now, it might take a little bit, but yeah, spring might be good.
We always say Deutschmarks or whatever. Euros.
Yeah. Hits.
Give us some
hitting
Euros.
On that day.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, there is some, some pride, in doing it by yourself, but, I do think that those GoFundMe Kickstarter options, I do find them, I think they are effective. I'm terrible at asking for money. I hate doing it, but it's I do find, it's not really even asking for money, it's basically a pre-order. If you're going to buy the record anyway, it's a good way to hey, I'll throw in $10. Yeah. I'll get a copy of the record afterwards, and then you get the money to go get the everything done. And so it's not exactly a charity or handout or anything like that. It's a nice way to pre-order a record, and then you're going to get some perks along the way and stuff. So I don't know. I think those are cool things, and of course, if you have more than $10 and you wanted a lot of them, people offer house shows or whatever, different things, and you can get all kinds of cool stuff. But I've been seeing a lot of those, but again, I know they're not for everybody, but I think they are an effective way for an independent band to have the fans help support the next project and stuff. So
yeah,
I want to give a shout out to Gaslight, we just recorded a full album there.
Yeah. Proud sponsor of Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah, we recorded from Tuesday through Saturday, and then did overdubs and stuff, and it was an awesome experience, The studio sounds great.
Cool.
Yeah. The drum room, it sounds beautiful, and working with Zach Gibbons was great.
Yeah.
If I was a woman, I'd marry him.
Well, it's legal now, though, I think.
Well, I'm already married.
Well, I don't know, you wouldn't be a lesbian. That negates the whole thing. Yeah, we should get in there. I've been hearing nothing but good things about that place, too, and I know a couple people that work there, and Spatula is going to do a live recording there coming up October something.
Yeah, we just did
it. Sounds like
stuff there. Cool.
Yeah, we did a little quick thing with a Defeated County there recently.
It sounds like a weird and interesting way to play a live show where you're recording it and maybe not playing a full set, but only doing that's what we're planning on doing. It's just a few songs over and over again.
Yeah, it's
less of a live set and more of a
recording.
A huge studio session.
It's kind of for me, it was kind of like being in a zoo.
Behind the,
if you need to stop,
I'm the monkey behind the glass, throwing his poo around. And there's people eating their food and drinking their drinks and having a good time, and they're listening to what's going on through the little speakers, and it was really cool. That's an interesting concept that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling that somebody's going to take that idea and run with it and ruin it.
Yeah. But yeah,
maybe not in St. Louis, but you know, if Gaslight keeps doing what they're doing.
Sure.
And I would love to get in there and record again. Sooner the better. Yeah. It's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of great things going on over there with Gaslight, and I know Loft Sessions has been recording over there some videos and it helping them speed up the process, being that they have, you know, right to the studio and stuff, so they're having the, you know, professionally mix and mastered audio right there and everything. I mean, so it helps keep it, simplify it all for them. But
yeah, and they're shooting the videos.
Yeah,
too,
they're doing the video, and then so yeah, it's just it's a nice partnership, I think, with Loft Sessions and Gaslight and things going on over there. But yeah, if you haven't been over to Gaslight, check it out.
Yeah,
so,
it's a good place.
Yeah,
I might go over there today and get some tacos.
Yeah,
tacos are really good.
Yeah.
Fish,
well,
tacos.
Well, we can throw a couple of these tunes on. Some people can get a, if they haven't heard any Marie and the Americans, they can get an idea of some of the sounds. Do you have any request you would like to play?
You're the ones that you like.
Well,
yeah,
right? I'm not particularly.
Yeah.
I think when we did the intro, that was kind of a thing to appease my cousin Wally. He wanted to kind of throw that in there. But
it's a cool intro.
Yeah, hey, for the EP, we had that was also the influence of our old guitar player, Wally, who is, like, we're trying to make it a full project. Like, you want to have a start and an ending, so there's an intro and an outro. So it's not five, it's five tracks, but it's four songs.
What's the denouement?
The what?
The day new mom.
Holding on, Princess and Princess Ally are the ones that
this is a literary term. It's
like
the
but number three
thing before the
climax.
It's the climax. I don't know, but it'd be cooler if
I
knew
my,
the words.
I think my favorite song on the EP is like "Good Guy Gone Bad," which is more like the ballad thing. So
yeah.
Maybe it's the thing after the climax.
I think you should. Yeah, you should go with the Princess and Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can. Yeah. So you want to play Princess and Hell?
You want a literary term
to play?
We all learned.
Good guy,
yeah.
One bad too.
Sure.
All right.
And then can I say a little bit about sort of the graphic design?
Of course.
And the pictures were made on Cherokee Street, and Jazzy Katnacko was doing the design, and we're getting a lot of good feedback.
Yeah.
I think she did an awesome job. It makes the EP really look like we're professionals.
She photoshopped.
And then also Kevin Kurlock. who's also playing with Simon Sherpitz with the phonics and has his own project with obviously Offbeat.
Yeah, I was on that too.
Yeah.
She did that for your safety because it's illegal to have a cigarette within 50 feet of a restaurant or something like that.
Yeah,
so she did that for your own good.
So
that was incriminating evidence.
All right, and then Andy Weiss was recording us, and so I feel like there's. So many people were involved with this EP and they're really helping us out, and this is another thing why it's so great being here in St. Louis, because there's so many people who really want to help you out and get a great product out, and without these people it wouldn't have worked like that.
Definitely.
So it's not only four band members, it's really also a community that's surrounding the whole project.
Yeah. Well, very cool. And again, you can come pick up copy EP October 7th, The Way Out Club.
Yes.
With Whiskey Autumn.
Whiskey Autumn.
Yeah.
Cool name.
Yeah, we do out of Boulder, Colorado. I'm traveling through, so.
They'll be very stoned.
Yeah.
No thanks to us.
But yeah, follow Marie and the Americans on Facebook. Keep up to date there for more show announcements coming soon. And on Instagram, you can see a bunch of pictures and stuff. So, and yeah, I think that's Reverb
Nation.
Thank
you so much for having us.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Like I said, appreciate you all taking some time out to do this. It's been a lot of fun to get to hang out. So, yeah,
this is
thanks,
worth the time to do this. You know, promotions wise. You know, it's hard to get everybody together. Besides, you know, the practice night and then gigs.
Sure.
You know, because we're all so busy with other groups.
And we don't want to hang out with each other.
we do hang out with each other.
It's really
do.
Hard on all of us.
We're all people. None of us care for each other. in the slightest.
But especially Simon.
Especially I hate you all the most. You all hate me the most.
That's why we work so well.
Yeah, we pretend with sadness if we hate him, but I think we all love him.
Yeah. Don't tell him that.
Man, you're going to ruin it. You might believe
he's
man.
He's going to quit now. He finds out we love him.
That's it. I'm out of here.
Screw you guys.
I'd like to think we're now famous because I remember when I moved over here, the Rock Paper Podcast was already kind of all over Facebook.
Oh, so yeah?
It's awesome being on your show right now. Well, so thank you so much.
Oh, well, I appreciate that very much. That was very nice. Yeah, I don't know about...
Does podcast beat paper?
I think so.
It's my own real... Yeah. I didn't ask you last time.
Right.
It's been eating at me.
Yeah.
Like, which one wins?
It's two-thirds of the trifecta, the trinity there, you know?
I just made that connection.
Sweet.
One of the things that really made me interested about her songwriting was the way her thoughts were translated into English, which I guess would immediately be in German first, I think, right?
The first song really starts with sometimes you don't know the words in English, so you have to look them up, and Google is not a good way to look up words. Because there's this one song that we're playing, and it's psych, and I thought it's like a psycho, but it's apparently... I always hear that from my guys. It's wrong. So, but I can't. It's sometimes it's hard to change the lyrics after you have everything set up. So this is a mistake, a translation.
It's not a
mistake.
That's what I like about it.
It makes it unique, I guess.
It might be a typo or something that it just makes it sound interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly what she's singing about, but I know it sounds good. That's half of the equation to create good music is, you know, you can be talking about buying toilet paper at the gas station, and if it sounds good and you deliver it properly, it could be a great song.
I liked that song title, Psych, because I didn't know that it had a different connotation or translation from German, but
it still fits,
because Psych used to be, like, when I was a kid, that's something... Everybody used to say, like,
all the fucking cool kids.
You look really cool today.
Psych!
Because you don't look cool. It's like a little joke.
Yeah. Psych.
It reminds me of Matt Bosler of Talk, and does the Talk Cast. Mm-hmm. And he has his guest on there, and he plays a game. And one of the games he does is where he takes popular song lyrics and puts them into Google Translate multiple times. So, and then reads back the lyrics to, and like, it, you know, some of them are way off. Yeah, like,
telephone.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a fun game to try to guess what song originally it was. And like,
that is a great game.
I want to try that.
Yeah.
It's always stealing it from Footloose.
Yeah.
Every single time. That's the secret.
Yeah. All right, well, again, I appreciate you all hanging out.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun, so
sorry for the false ending.
Oh, it's okay.
I blame Russell.
It's like being at a bar, yeah, you know, when you're big, close out. That's when shit gets real interesting. Well, for some people.
Slash that. You're doing it again.
It's like Crown Up Day, we're not going to finish.
Without further ado.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Adios. Good night. Levitizen.
and it's with Ty Podcast. Bennett.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.